Been so long since I played, and so now I gotta try to remember the sermon, you see. Yeah. Well, that's all right. God is good. God is good. All right. Well, this will probably be the last time we visit this text. You'll know we've looked at this text for a couple of weeks, and we'll try to finish up today. So, if you could find 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, or if you prefer, you can read it from the screen here. And if you are physically able, I'd ask you to stand and just honor God while I read his word in your hearing, and then we'll ask God's blessing on our time together, all right? 2 Timothy 4, verses 16 through 18. At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. Verse 17. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Mm-hmm. Father, we thank you so much for the way you have kept us, and only you know the ways you keep us at those times when we need so much help, and you know when we're so needy, and when no one and nothing else can help but you. And so we realize that we are here today because you've helped us, and so we just we praise you, we thank you, we worship you, we adore you, we love you today. You are the lifter of our heads, the lifter of our hearts. You're the reason we live and move and have our very being and existence, Lord. And so we bless you. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy, holy name. Thank you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. As I said, I think this is the last time we'll probably visit this subject matter. And so we're talking about standing alone once again. And you might remember we've covered a little ground here, and we've seen that there are many different relationships that we have as people, right? We got biological relationships with family. We got psychological relationships when we get together in groups where, right, people of similar problems get together. We have professional relationships where people in our same profession like to get together and congregate. We got circumstantial relationships where circumstances drive us together with other people. We got educational relationships. All of these kinds of this collage of relationships in our lives that make up a day in a life, a week in a life, a month in a life, right, a year in a life. It's relationships. It's about people, yeah? Even those of us who retired, some people think that you retire and you're just going to get somewhere in a corner or go somewhere on a fishing bank and that's all you do, that's not living. No, 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 no. You see, that gets old after a while, right? Well, I know some of y'all don't know that yet, but you'll see. You know, some of you younger people think that that's all you want to do is to retire so you can kick back and watch your favorite, you know, do the, what do you call a channel surf and pull out your video game. But I'm going to tell you, it gets old. You know, it takes people. Yeah, we are people. These relationships make life worthwhile. And so last week we saw in verses 14 and 15 that in this life we also have enemies, right? That's real. That's real. Enemies are real. You cannot avoid it. You can't keep flying under the radar because eventually people will find out who you are, and Jesus told you that they'll hate you, but remember they hated me what? First. And so enemies oppose both the gospel message, messenger, and the one who carries the message. And then we saw that the other aspect of the believer's life is not just the enemies that we have, but it's evangelism, because the gospel cannot be stopped. It cannot. They've been trying to destroy it for generations, but the gospel, that's why you and I are here today. You and I are here today because they cannot stop the gospel. It just keeps going forward, generation to generation. Doesn't matter how many people they kill. It doesn't matter what they do to us. God just keeps raising up more. Yeah. Saving the most unlikely people that are bad a banner. And say, now I'm one of them. Yeah. Y'all know how it is. All of us that were out there in darkness one time. And how we used to talk about Christians. Yeah. Until God brought us into the light. And now folks talking about us. All praise be to the Lord. So anyway, it's about people of all sorts. And so today, we also saw that with evangelism, it involves things that are people that go out. You know, you have to have that for evangelism, right? People have to go out to take the gospel. But there are also things coming in because people have needs. Your brother Ernest talked about that as we were taking the offering, is that, yeah, we have things going out, but in order for things to go out, what? Some things have to come in. Yeah, you know that. That's just reasonable. That's just reasonable thinking there. So today we just want to dig just a little bit deeper into Paul's life and ministry and just investigate some of these truths that we have here. And I'm just going to divide my thinking into these two categories. We're going to think about what it means to be standing, what it means to stand, and then what it means to be rescued. Yeah. You see, all of us men that were raised to be macho and be a man and try to, you know, we were taught what it meant to be a man, but when you come to Christ, you realize you need help. The first thing you get help by is you have to be rescued. You can't help yourself. When it comes to this life we're talking about here, you have to be helped. And you say, well, that destroys my manhood. That's the whole idea. Only humble people can come to Christ. Just, we were saved by what? Grace. Yes. By works that so that none can what? None can boast. Yeah, there's no mighty, strong, powerful people that come to Christ just because you were so strong and wonderful and intelligent and all of those things. We thank God that God saved strong and mighty and intelligent people, but that's not the reason you were saved. We were saved by what? By grace. Yeah, that's what makes this life so wonderful. That's the reason we can have a room like this, and we don't, you know, we didn't come in here to flash our accolades, and you know, nobody checked at the door to see what your status and your socioeconomic status in life was, right? I mean, that doesn't matter. Now, some churches do that, you know. You know that some churches you have to give them your W-2 and your statistics, because they're going to make sure you pay according to the kind of earning that you have. But you see, that's perverted.
Yes, it is.
That's not the gospel life. And here, we're just all children of God. Amen. And even if you're not a child of God, you're welcome. Isn't that good? That's the good news of the gospel. So anyway, I guess y'all would say, well, come on, preacher, get to the thing, get to the subject. So we're just going to talk about these two areas here just a minute, about standing and being rescued. And so the first thing, when you think about this issue of standing, there are times that you have to stand without other people, you see? Yeah, yeah. You got to stand, and everybody, even the young people, you know that. There are times the folks you thought you could count on, they're just not there for you all the time. And so you have to, there are those times. As you see what Paul said here in verse 16, at my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. And I know some of y'all aren't old enough to know it yet, but you'll see, it's going to happen. A lot of your partners, a lot of the ones that you run with and you hang with, and you thought y'all were ride or die, you know, all of that kind of thing. You find out what it means to be deserted. At the worst of times, at the time when you needed people most, a lot of times, even in your own household, your own family, you see. But you see, the Christian life is where God prepares you for that kind of thing. Yeah, He prepares you for it. It doesn't destroy us when people walk away from us. So that's what we're learning here from Paul, that he often found himself in confrontational situation, adversarial circumstances and dangerous circumstances because of the gospel. Because he stood for the gospel, you'll find yourself likewise in confrontational and adversarial, these ugly situations. Now, here's the thing. Even though souls were being saved, even though saints were being encouraged, churches were being established, church leaders were being appointed, yet the opposition from the Jews and from those who didn't like the messenger or the message still came. With all of the good that was being done, the opposition still comes. And so I say to you, my brother, my sister, don't let it wipe you out to find out you're just trying to do good and you find trouble on every side. That's the Christian life. That's the Christian life. Opposition. You're swimming upstream in a cesspool of people that are racing to destruction, and it's just awful to look at the news and to pick up your phone and just look at some of the headlines. It's awful to see the kinds of things that are happening, and you see you're swimming upstream. The Bible calls us what? Salt and light. We're just trying to preserve it as long as we can. That's all it is. We know the end of the story. You remember I told y'all that at the beginning, right? It's a fixed fight. We know how it ends, but along the way, you're just trying to preserve it as long as you can. I know Eric said he don't fish much anymore, but you know, what is it, Eric? What's it, salmon or whatever it is that swim upstream? One of the fish that, you know, they swim upstream. And so y'all seen those pictures where they jumping, you know, up out of the water. Well, you see, that's kind of like our life. You know, you're swimming. I mean, it's an amazing thing in the nature. They know exactly where they're going. And even though they got all that current and the pride and that's working against them, they just keep pressing on. Pressing on upstream. That's our life, isn't it? What did the apostle? Forget those things that what? That lie behind you. And I'm going to tell you, young people, that's something you need to learn now. I wish I had known this when I was younger. I wouldn't have carried it around so much bitterness and ugly stuff. But learn to forget the things that lie behind you. Leave it there. Right? The Bible says, and then you got to learn to press on. Stretch yourself forward. Some of y'all were athletes, or some maybe, I don't know, maybe still some athletes, but those who were athletes, you know what that's like to strain, right? To press on forward against the opposition. Well, see, that's the Christian life. And so that's what we're talking about here when you have to stand alone. Paul found himself standing against the government even, you know? And that's we're in a society where you may have to stand against the government. He had to stand against the governor, Felix, and King Agrippa, I believe, came to visit there, and finally he had to appeal to Caesar, right? So in this verse, you see you got these words, defense and stand. Those are, in the Greek, in the original language, those are legal terms, which means he had to counter with his own self-defense. Okay. You've seen programs on TV where someone didn't have an attorney, and they had to represent themselves. And so that's the way it is oftentimes in the Christian life. Folks that you were counting on, they're not there. And so you see, none of his friends, none of his co-workers, all of these people that he spent time with, none of them would step forward and speak for him. Because you know, in a trial, you kind of depend upon people to step forward, right, and say something about your character, something about you, because the ones making the decision are going to make that based on your character, on what people have to say about you. And when you got nobody stepping forward, they assume that there's something wrong. But you see, in the kingdom, in the Christian life, there's just times that you just got to be willing to defend yourself. You see, and say and do what's right. But you notice he has the spirit of Christ and of Stephen. You see, at that very last sentence in verse 16, may it not be charged against them. Isn't that amazing? All of your best partners, your friends, your running buddies, all in his case, his co-workers, the co-laborers, those that he's communed with and fellowshipped with and ministered with, none of them are there. But what did he say? May it not be charged against them. Just as Christ did on the cross. Father, forgive them. Why? Because they don't know what they're doing. And you remember Stephen, when the very ones that were killing him. And I tell you all, for those of you all who read the Bible, you read about people being stoned to death. That's an awful way to die. Think of it. People throw stones at you and make such external and internal injuries that eventually you die. You die a painful death. And there Stephen was saying, forgive them. Lord, forgive them. May this not be held against them. And here you see Paul is doing the same thing about those that have deserted him. Forgive them. May it not be a charge. So that's the first thing I want you to keep in mind, is that when it comes to this issue of standing, sometimes you have to stand with people, but you have to know. You have to know. You have to know before that's happening what it means to walk with the Lord. You have to know what it means to have fellowship with the Lord before you get in these kind of situations. So you see verse 17. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. There it is. Jesus was standing with him. No one was standing with Paul in the flesh. Hallelujah. But Jesus was standing with him in the spirit, right? The Lord is a faithful friend. Faithful. He's faithful like no other. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Yeah, see? Of whom am I going to be afraid of? You know, that text goes on near the end of that section, verse 10. It said, my mother, my father have deserted me. You get the picture? But then he said, but the Lord will take me in.
Yes.
So even when family members don't come through for you, you got to know this. You got to know this. Know it in advance that the Lord will stand with you. Y'all follow me so far? The Lord will stand with you. He is faithful, faithful, faithful. Jesus is there to give courage. He's there to give grace and wisdom. What? To do God's will. And everyone in this room that's a Christian, there are coming those times when you're going to find that you had to step outside of your natural character and do things that you wouldn't normally do. I am not here because this is something that I, quote, enjoy doing. I'm here because of grace. Grace has called me to do this, and I stand to do it with all of my weaknesses and frailties, and with this old house that's, how's that song go? The leak has a leak in the house, and you know, the shingles ain't like they used to be. The old framework is reeking and cracking now. But you see, Jesus gives you grace to do what needs to be done.
Yes.
And again, I say to you young people, you're not going to be young always. So you need to know what it means to live by grace and to trust God to give you the strength when you just don't have it naturally. Give you courage when you just don't naturally have it, right? He'll give you what you need, you see, when you need to speak and you don't need to, like Moses, you might say, well, I'm not a good speaker. Well, you got to trust God. Remember what he said to Moses? Who made the mouth? You got to trust that if God is calling you to do something, he knows what your shortcomings are. And again, here, you see, like Stephen, Paul stands for and stands with Christ, even though no one else is standing with him. Brother Ernest used the word plan. I think as he was talking about the Gospel of John, there's a plan. And so here's the thing. You just need to know that God had a plan and a man to use for this particular situation. He's got a plan and a man, and in this case, a plan and a woman. It doesn't matter what your gender is, God's got a plan. Why are you here? Because God has a plan for you. I know you've heard that slogan before, but you see, God brought you into the world because there's a purpose. A purpose. And you just need to discover what that is. For the Christian, remember how Jesus said it, let your light shine before men, before people in such a way that they what? See your good works and bring glory to your Father who is in heaven, right? And so that's a wonderful thing. I'll say this and I'll leave this point. You know, friends normally come to your defense and defend your character or your reputation or your innocence or the fact that you're reliable or the fact that you're a humble person or an honest person or whatever the case may be. But there are those abnormal times when you just got no one else to defend you, and you just have to stand, even when you stand alone. Everybody good? All right, well, we'll leave that one and go on to this last subject matter real quick. And that's the one about being rescued. And in this particular case, there's two aspects of being rescued. The very nature, as you see, the word itself is in the past tense, rescued, right? And so, as a Christian, you need to think about what these realities. Go back to verse 17, that last sentence in verse 17, he says, "So I was rescued from the lion's mouth." I was rescued from the lion's mouth. Even though he was there having defended himself before the government and for, I mean, just think of the situation with all of the Jews against him, the government mounting a case against him. And there he is, one man. And all that he has is his word, you see. That's all he got. And nobody else to speak up for him. So you see, Paul was keenly aware that his deliverance was from the Lord. Yeah. Everybody in this room that's been a Christian for very long, you gotta be very careful who you give the credit to when you come through something. Yeah. Amen. He was aware that his deliverance was from the Lord. It was the Lord's doing. He knew that he was delivered from a life-threatening situation. He called it what? The lion's mouth. And that's you see that statement back in Psalm 22. Also, you remember 1 Peter speaks of it. He says that we have an adversary. He's like a roaring lion that moves and traverses and seeking someone to devour. And so Paul recognized that he was delivered from the lion's mouth, but he took no credit for it. No credit for it. It wasn't because he was a Roman citizen. No, it wasn't his citizenship. It wasn't because he was so courageous. It wasn't because he was so kind. You see, sometimes when they're presenting, people are presenting their defense, that it's like they're trying to cozy up to the ones that are making the judgments. And it wasn't because he was so humble or his tact or his skill. And here's the thing. You see, people are tempted to brag and boast after the victory has been won. They're tempted to brag and boast after the battle has been won, after the major athletic football game, a basketball game, or whatever the case may be. Track meet. People have a tendency to brag after the victory is won. But for the Christian, when you had a victory, you have to recognize that I didn't do this. You see, I couldn't do this alone, yeah? And so he's taking no credit. He's taking no credit. He says, the Lord, what? Delivered me from the lion's mouth. Paul was not ashamed to admit that he needed help. And I say to particularly young men and older men, don't be ashamed to admit when you need help. Amen. And suddenly, don't be too arrogant to thank people when they have helped you. Yeah. And so he's not ashamed to admit that he needed help, and that his help comes from the Lord. I just wonder, what about you? You understand what I'm saying? Are you willing to do that? And then finally, it's the future rescue. You see that in verse 18? The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul had faced death, abuse, and was even left for dead once. Y'all remember I talked to you about stoning? Well, Paul was left for dead on one of the occasions that they stoned him. I just want to read one little section of scripture. We're getting close to a close now. So y'all can just, if you can just bear with me for just a minute. This is an important section of scripture here. 2 Corinthians 11. Listen at this. Verse 23. Try to find verse 23 through 28. Listen at this. Are they servants of Christ? I am a better one. I am talking like a madman, with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings, and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I have been beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. For a night and a day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys I'm in danger of rivers, dangers of robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hunger through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from all other things, there's a daily pressure of me, of my anxiety for all the churches. That's a man that's been through some things, you see. That's a man that knows what it means to face death and problems and issues. And yet he's the one that says, God has delivered me or has rescued me, and he will rescue me. So you see, Paul had confidence that the Lord can and will rescue him from every wicked scheme or plan or plot or person and bring him home safely. And that's what I would just want to leave in your minds today as we finish talking about this subject matter. You just remember what I've said. You know the end of the story. You know the end of the story. Just as Paul had confidence that he was going to get home safely, you need to have that same confidence. Why? Because we're a kept people. We're a protected people. We're delivered people. We're defended people. God defends us. We're vindicated people. We are a rescued people. We're a forgiven people. We found people that have favor and goodness and grace and mercy until we get home. Well, you've been very patient. And so, as we come to a close, I just want you to think about these things. Do you have enough experience in your walk with the Lord to know that he has rescued you out of dangerous situations in the past? Can you look back over your past and realize, God brought me out of that? And I want to tell you something. I can do that even from my days when I was such an awful heathen. When I was doing things that the Bible says shouldn't even be mentioned in church, and I won't. I can look back over my past and realize how God brought me out of circumstances where people were dying right where I was. In them little smoky clubs and it's awful. I've played in some awful places. I don't know. I think I've told y'all this. I played in clubs with dirt floors. Have I ever told y'all that before? You see, that's the kind of stuff you got in Arkansas. One time I played at a place called Coon's Place. yeah. That's the kind of stuff. But you see, the Lord, I can look back on it. I could look back on it. I thought I was so slick. But it's just that the Lord had a plan. That's all it was. And so I just want to say to you young people, stay encouraged. Be encouraged. God will bring you through. I know it may be hard right now, but he will. Do you have any recent experience with the Lord where He alone rescued you, you see. Well, you know you had deep. You were sinking in financial trouble. You were sinking in medical troubles. Your family was so bad it was just crumbling at the seams. You know that you had legal problems that you could not solve. Have you been in situations where you've been in danger from thieves? I've lived in situations where we had bars on the windows and bars on the doors, and everybody in here knows that a bar don't stop a thief. Right? They want your stuff. They can get your stuff. But we lived in situations where you've been in dangers from thieves, or dangers from carjackers, dangers from muggers, dangers from people walking around with illegal weapons. You can't see them. You don't even know they have them. But you're there in the midst. Dangers, you see? Dangers from injustice that's going on around you. Danger from the police. Danger from the government. Even dangers from zealous religious folks. It's happening in our day right now. Right now. Don't be naive. It's happening in our day right now. Every one of us lives in danger every day. Oh my, how you need to be thankful. Every day. Do you have enough personal experience with the Lord to know that he rescued you in the past, and he is able to rescue you in the future? Do you have enough experience to stand alone? If and when no one else stands for you, no one else stands with you, will you stand for Jesus when it's not easy? Will you stand for Jesus when it's not popular? When you stand for Jesus when it's not in the public, you see? When it's in the private setting and only you are there, will you stand? When the Lord stands with you, you will always have what you need. You believe that? When the Lord stands with you, you will go where he needs you to go. When the Lord stands with you, you will do what you need to do. When the Lord stands with you, you will say what you need to say. When the Lord stands with you, you will help people where you need to help. When the Lord stands for you, you can stay where he needs you to stay, and stand when and wherever he needs you to stand, even if you have to stand alone when the Lord is standing with you. God will be with you in the midst of it all. God will be with you in the midst of it all. Jesus will never leave or desert you. David said, "Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me." The Lord is always, always, always with us in the midst of all the circumstances of life. Do you believe it? Will you receive it? Will you trust it? And will you continue to stand in the midst of it all? If you don't have a right relationship with Christ, if you know that you're still just kind of moving through life, waiting for the right time, if you know that you're still carrying the weight of your sins and you've never been forgiven, I just say to you, today is a great day to let it go. You don't have to keep carrying that around. Let it go. Jesus has come so that you don't have to carry that around, right? He says, "Come to me, all who what? Labor, you're heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. And I'll give you rest for your soul." Lord, thank you so much for these few minutes that we